morning. Merry almost Christmas. It's almost here. What a wonderful part of the season when we can gather our families back together and all come and worship together. What a blessing that is. And so thank you for being here this morning. So we get started. I wanted to kind of pose you with a question. Can you remember who it was that shared the gospel with you for the very first time? Was it maybe your parents, or maybe it was a very close friend? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or youth minister or pastor. Who shared that word with you? And now I want you to think of what would it be like if no one had ever shared that gospel with you. Even think about what if we were all just to stop sharing the gospel all of a sudden and no one was sharing the gospel. Well, I don't want to consider that future whatsoever. So that begs the question, then, what is our responsibility when it comes to sharing the gospel, and how do I fulfill that responsibility? Well, this morning I'd like to take a few minutes and provide you with some very practical answers to those questions, and in particular, as it has to do with cross-cultural ministry, sharing the gospel with others from different cultures than ours. So, will you pray with me this morning as we start our lesson? Dear Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Lord, for the whole reason for this season, Lord. We thank you for this time that we're just extra reminded of what you've done for us, Lord, and Lord, what we owe you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you be with us this morning as we open these scriptures and are reminded what you've called us to do, Lord, and Lord, the important work that we have to do. Lord, be with us, encourage us, build us up, and Lord, direct us where we need to go. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Why don't you go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. That's where our text will be. You probably a very well-known scripture to you. It's the Great Commission, or known as the Great Commission. I think it's important to recognize that this basic commission, this command, is given in all four Gospels, slightly differently, but it's in all four Gospels that ring to its importance to us as Christians. And so let's take a quick look at it. Matthew 28, verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So before we dive into the scripture here, let's take a little moment and think about kind of the context. When is this happening? And it's pretty obvious from, you know, as we look at the book of Matthew here, it's the very last thing recorded. This is among the very last things Jesus does. This is right before the end of his ministry, at least right here on earth. He's about to leave them. He's about to go back to heaven, or at least leave them in physical form. And these are among, if not the very last words that Jesus speaks to his disciples. But more importantly, it's also the timing, right? What has just happened? Jesus Christ has given his life for the salvation of all of mankind. Jesus has fulfilled God's great plan for salvation of the world. He's fulfilled all the prophecies about him all at this one time. Everything up until this point in all of human history has pointed to this very moment when Jesus died on the cross. And by Jesus dying, by Jesus fulfilling God's plan, Jesus has now created and established a new and eternal covenant and kingdom. And Jesus Christ is the very first and kind of actually at this point the only member of that new kingdom. And so if this kingdom is to take root, if it's to flourish, if it's to continue, Jesus is going to need some help. And not just from his disciples, but from every generation that follows him. And so what does Jesus do to make good on this commitment, this investment that Jesus has made with his life, right? Jesus is really, he's all in on making sure this kingdom survives and moves forward. So what does he do? He gives a very simple command. Well, not so simple, but it's a few simple words. And so, but before we jump in and before actually Jesus gives this command, he has to prepare some hearts first. And that's what we see happening here in verses 16 and 17. So what happens that helps prepare the hearts of the disciples? We see, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, and some were doubtful. So here we see in your notes, we must first approach Christ in worship. We must first approach Christ in worship. I think we all agree that nothing extraordinary happens unless it's preceded by worship. And it's kind of interesting that three of the four times that it's recorded that the disciples worshiped Jesus Christ all happened after Jesus' death. I think at Jesus' death, the disciples finally realized exactly who Jesus was. He is God. He is worthy of our worship. And through that worship, it primes our heart to prepare our heart for what Jesus calls us to do. And so they're, in respect, preparing their hearts for the command that Jesus is about to give them. Also note how the disciples come to Christ. First, we see what? We see that they obey him, right? They had seen Jesus multiple times already after his death and resurrection, right? They had seen him in Jerusalem on a number of occasions. But now Jesus has called them out. He's called them on to take a journey, a bit of a journey. It's not an easy journey up to Galilee. And also, they're exposing themselves. I mean, Jesus had just died for the cause. What about them? They could be in danger as well. Yet, they obeyed regardless. So we see the obedience following as part of their worship. It's also interesting, though, to see here what? That they also doubted. I mean, how could this be? How could, they just worship Jesus, but how could they be doubting? And I think, it's kind of normal, right? In a sense that just think of everything that the disciples have just seen and everything they've gone through. They're confused. They're having a hard time processing what all of this means. And it's almost too good to be true in the sense that they saw Jesus die and how that crushed them. But then now Jesus is alive again and among them. And, how hard that would be to fully grasp. On top of that, they had to be harboring some shame, right? I mean, when Jesus needed them most, they abandoned him. And so that has to be weighing heavily on their heart. And then they're also having a hard time connecting the dots, right? I mean, just consider that, from the prophecies and even what Jesus proclaimed to them, he's king, he's savior. And yet, what is Jesus doing to be that king and that savior? It's not the kind of king and savior they're expecting. So they're having a hard time putting all of this together. And so I think the important thing here is that this gives us hope too, right? Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we're confused, right? Sometimes we have our insecurities, our shame, our confusion. And yet Jesus still calls us. If we will just come and bow and worship before him, he'll facilitate the rest, just like he does the disciples here on this occasion. So, just like the disciples too, we must first approach Christ in worship. He's preparing our hearts. He needs this. We need to worship to prepare our hearts to hear what he has to say to us. And so, now that he has their hearts prepared, he's ready to give the commandment. And so, let's see what he has to say. What does he go on to say? Then Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So interesting here, before he actually gives the command, he needs to remind them of his authority, the authority that he is bringing to this command that he is giving to his disciples. And it wouldn't be much different than a general, right? And the lowly private there, and The general is giving him a command, and the private knows just by the, you know, the insignias on his uniform, this is the general. I have to listen to him. And no matter what he says, he has authority over me, and I have to respond in the way that he's telling me. And in some sense, that's Jesus is wanting to make clear. He doesn't have the fancy uniform to tell them who his authority is. Jesus just is that authority. And when he makes that authority clear, it's kind of important to realize what authority. It's not just, I don't simply have authority over you 11. I don't simply have authority over the Jewish people. It's not authority simply over all of the Israelites. It's not over just the Romans. It's not over just this world. It's over this world. It's over heaven. It's all authority. I have all authority over all things, and that is the authority that I am coming to you with here when I give you this command. So, I also think that Jesus is doing something a little bit more here. Remember, they were doubting, right? They came and they were still doubting in their hearts about Jesus. And Jesus is dispelling some of that doubt in the sense that, what is he saying? He's saying, that king, that savior that I told you that I was, I am that savior. I am that king. I am that authority. And that is the authority that I'm sending you out in. And it's also important to remember that just like any commander, any general, when they send out that troop, a good commander is going to equip them, right? He's going to give them the resources they need for whatever job the general is calling them to. And same way that Jesus, when he calls us, Jesus gives us that the resources, the spiritual, physical resources that we need to accomplish the job that he is giving us. And so that is part of this authority that Jesus is claiming and that Jesus is sending them on. And so he's established that I have the authority to send you. Now Jesus makes the command. He gives that sending command. And so what is that? What does he call them to do? So all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And so there's the command, very simple. Go and make disciples of Christ from all nations. We are called to make disciples of Christ from all nations. So how does he make the command? Where does he start that command? He says, go, therefore. So go how? Go, therefore. Therefore, we need to look back. What did Jesus just say? Go, therefore, in the authority that I send you. Go with that authority. Go with the knowledge that you have all the resources at your hands of heaven and earth. Everything you have, I give you, and you can accomplish what I'm sending you to. Next, where are we to go? Where are we to go and make disciples? To all the earth. All the earth. And so, when we go, what are we to do? We are to make disciples, right? We're told to make disciples. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrines of another. Accepts and assists in the spreading of doctrines of another. In other words, spread the gospel. We are to spread the gospel. The disciples were to spread the gospels. And Jesus, in a moment, will describe exactly what he means and gives a little bit more detail of what it means to disciple somebody. But here he's calling them disciple, and who he's calling is all nations. He's calling all nations to disciple. And this is likely to have caught the disciples a little off guard, right? I mean, think about it. They were Israelites. They were Jews, you know. They were God's chosen people. And God, you know, Jesus and the disciples had largely ministered to the Jews and to the Israelites, largely to the Jews throughout the ministry. And now Jesus is throwing open the doors, right? He's throwing open the doors to all people, all nations. This would have caught them a little bit by surprise. And just like for them, they were to disciple all the nations. This means the very same thing to us today, right? Yes, when we are called to make disciples of all nations, that does mean starting right here in our own homes. It also means to make disciples of our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our community. But we're also called, just like the disciples, it includes all nations.
We are to make disciples of all nations. So now, Jesus turns his attention onto how we are to make disciples. Right? So he says, make disciples. Now, what does that look like? So go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he gives us some criteria about how we are to do that. And specifically, here in your notes, we instruct concerning all Christ commanded. We instruct concerning all Christ commanded. That's what he wants us to do. That's kind of how he's defining making disciples. And what does that involve? The first thing is to baptize, right? That is a key act of obedience that we all do that publicly proclaims where we're placing our faith. So how important is that, showing that that is where our faith, where we're putting our faith? And by doing this, Jesus is saying, what kinds of disciples are we making? Whose disciples are we making? He tells us right here, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are making disciples of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And note here that the word name is singular, yet we have three names, right? It should be names, but no, we're making a point here, right? Because it's all God. God is one. And here he's pointing again to this all idea, this full measure of God, the full authority, the entirety of God. That is who we're baptizing in, all of God. So Jesus also instructs, what? To teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So we're baptizing and now teaching them. And this, again, would have been a little, it's a change, right, to the disciples. What have they been doing all along? They've been learning. Jesus has been the discipler, right? He's been doing all the teaching. They've been doing the learning. Now the tables are being turned. They have to do the teaching. They have that role. And have you noticed? There's that word again, all. All authority, all nations of the world, and now we're to teach all that Jesus has instructed us. He holds us responsible to present the whole counsel of God to those who they're making disciples. In other words, how important this is. We don't want to be creating counterfeit disciples, right? Counterfeit disciple is no disciple at all. We have to teach them the whole Word of God. And the responsibility there is that we teach everything that Jesus taught. And I can only imagine how sobering this would have been, this call on their life. Both the magnitude, you know, just all people, right? The size of that. But then the importance of the task. We have to get it right. We have to proclaim Jesus Christ. And for this reason, I think Jesus, and very importantly, Jesus ends with a very comforting promise, right? So in verse 20, so I'm commanding you, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so here, that comforting promise is what? Christ is with us for all time. Christ is with us for all time. So he starts with lo, right? And lo is to seek or to look. I think Jesus is kind of doing this finger thing, you know. He's going, look, I've got you. I see you. I am always seeing you, right? And so what is he seeing? What is he really promising? What does it really mean to be with him, to be that Jesus' presence is with us? And I think it goes back to where Jesus started, right? With all authority. I am commanding you in all authority. He's saying that all this authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. That's what it means to go and to do what I'm saying and to be in my presence is to go in that authority with all the resources that I have. You're going in that, and that's the presence that you feel with me. And so when is he with us? Well, it begins, it's important to note that he starts with the present tense. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you, that means now, not will be, but I am, and for how long? To the end of the age. Always, and here's that all again, always, all time. And so when something's repeated, in the Bible. It's good to take note of that. Usually there's a point to be made, right? So what do we think? Why would Jesus use this same word all over and over again? In fact, four different times in this one short little command, all authority, all nations, all that I've taught you, and I'm with you always. So what is he trying to get across? I think it's a point of completeness, perfectness, just all-encompassing command here that Jesus is giving. We are to reach every person for all time, teaching them all the gospel, but we do this with all the authority and all the presence of Jesus Christ. That is an enormous command, right? When you stop and think about it, how broad and sweeping, you know, it includes every person of every time. And just the weight, the importance of this command. When you stop and think about how sad it is that anyone should ever die without the opportunity of having heard the gospel shared with them. I mean, how awful can that be? And that is the weight of this commission that Jesus is giving. And nothing has changed in 2,000 years, right? In fact, maybe it's getting worse. Can you imagine that every year, 130 million new souls are born in this world that need to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's a big job, not to mention all the other people in the world. So, just like the disciples, we're called to make disciples of all the nations. And again, just like them, that includes all the people in our direct sphere of influence. I mean, it is important that we share the gospel with everyone that we can. But we all are also told and taught to share the gospel with all nations. And that includes us. We all have some responsibility. I don't believe that we're all called to pick up and move overseas and go into the missionary field. Some people are. I don't think we're all called, but we all still have a responsibility there. So how can we fulfill this command then? How, if we're not called to go overseas, can we still work cross-culturally? Can we minister cross-culturally? And if so, what would that look like? And so now I want to talk a little bit about our missions program here at MCC. And in particular, I want to help you to understand how we've tried to engineer, if you will, because you know, I'm a hydrologist, I'm a scientist, so I engineer, right? We engineer this program to try and make cross-cultural engagement possible, actually accessible and actionable. We want you to be able to access people from other cultures and giving you ways that you can help spread that gospel. And so now I want to talk a little bit about that as we go forward. So as we go forward, I want you to see how our MCC program is making all nations accessible with handles for discipling. It's in your notes. Making all nations accessible with handles for discipling. And by handles, what I mean is a way for you as a body, for all of us, to be able to grab on to a ministry and engage, right? A way that you can engage in a very direct way. And so, but first, you know, I want to explain our goal. In everything that we try to do with our missions program, we go with the idea of bring change, be change. Bring change, be changed. And where we came up with that is it actually parallels the Great Commission in the sense that Christ commands us to make disciples of all nations, right? To make disciples, that's bringing change. Whenever we're making disciples, we're bringing change, and that's real change, right? When we bring the gospel to others. And when we exercise as Jesus commands in his full authority and his full presence, how can we help but not be changed, right? We're going to be changed by the presence of Jesus. And so, again, that's real change in our lives. So, but we still need a way of being able to accomplish that, so, right? So, how do we do that? And particularly in a cross-cultural way. And so, to make cross-cultural ministry accessible, we've tried to be strategic about the ministries that we support so that we can help make things a little more accessible for you. So we've selected nine different ministries that we've been supporting now, various times, but for quite a long time now, 9 different ministries that we organize into 4 different groups, basically groups around their accessibility, how easily we can access them from right here in Albuquerque all the way to almost inaccessibility, okay? So we have 9 ministries, 4 different groupings. But regardless of how hard they are to access, they're still handles. Every one of these ministries, we have a way of you being able to grab a handle and get engaged with. And these handles, they run the gamut of being very simple, one-off, maybe make some food, leave it downstairs in the room downstairs so we can pick it up and take it somewhere, or it could be something much more consistent, a weekly type of activity where we're reaching out and supporting. So a whole different range of engagements, different kinds of engagements that require different levels of involvement. So now let me kind of jump through or talk about each of these 9 ministries very quickly. And what I want you to do is just kind of open your heart. Maybe let Jesus speak to you. Maybe there's, he might speak to you and say, hey, this sounds like something I really feel like I'm called to do, or I want to learn more about this. And just so you know that there is, in case you miss it here, there are plenty of other places. We have this little directory, mission directory. I think there are a few left. We've got to print some more. We need to update it and add Abby to it. So this is one place that you can go for this information. You can also go to the website. It's there as well. Or you can ask one of us, of course. Or you can listen very closely right now. So all kinds of different ways to get this information. So the first grouping is what we call our local international outreach. And this actually includes 2 different ministries where we're working with students right in the Albuquerque area. So international students in the Albuquerque area. The first is Juntos. You've probably heard about that before. They're affiliated with the Navigators, and they work with at-risk immigrant families and particularly the children living in the Albuquerque International District. And their effort is focused primarily on discipleship and leadership development. And although they focus on the K-12 kids, it spills over into college age and the families and adults as well. And there's all kinds of handles, ways for you to engage right here in Albuquerque. And again, some really simple things like just delivering food for some of their activities, or helping with the Christmas party, so a one-time thing, or helping maybe over the week for their kids club, which is in town, which is like their VBS. There's also things that could be weekly during the school year, tutoring and mentoring and helping with their youth groups and ministry groups in the evenings. The second ministry is ISI, International Students Incorporated. It is on over 900 campuses across the United States, university campuses. We're obviously working at UNM. Really cool. It's the opportunity to engage with the students, help them thousands of students come here to UNM alone, and they come and we help them acclimate to Albuquerque and acclimate to this culture and just help them to get settled. And so, and by doing so, it opens the door to share the gospel and even to get them into Bible study. So in this way, this university connection allows us the opportunity to train up Christian leaders right here in our own back door and prepare them before they go back home. We're training indigenous pastors before they go back to their homelands. And so what a cool opportunity. And many handles here that we can do. Again, some very easy ones, just preparing lunch. We do that twice a year down at UNM. You can pick up a student at the airport. You can also offer them homestays for 3 or 4 days as they find an apartment. You can help them with apartment finding, collecting, delivering furniture. We also help friendship partners, so just kind of connecting with them on a kind of a monthly basis, or taking a group off on a hiking trip all the way to doing weekly home Bible studies, and even the English corner. So lots of opportunities, again, right in Albuquerque to engage. But I want you to hear firsthand how serving in this cross-cultural way really makes a difference, not only for the ones you're serving, but for yourself. Jim, do you want to jump up and tell us a little bit? Jim has been serving with Juntos for a number of years, and just get a firsthand view.
One of the things I'll say is we have to talk about bring change. When we first started working at Juntos, it was a bunch of us from the Mountain Christian went down and we tutored, we helped students, and they were mostly, it was mostly us working with young people, pre-K up through high school, and there were very, very few adults. What's happened over the time, the last few years, a lot of those students we've worked with have grown, they've become mature, they have accepted Christ, and they've decided they want to do that as their livelihood. And so now, Juntos has a lot of their adult help are people who grew up through the program who are now devoting their lives to continue this cycle. And that cycle is changing. When I first started there, one of our big concerns was teaching very young teen girls how to take care of a baby they've had, how to change a diaper, wash your hands, and so forth. And now there's more concerns about, oh, so you're getting ready to go to college. You're looking for a career. A very, very big change in the international community, and it's working within the community itself now so that these people understand the whole community wants to help you. The other part of this is the change. One of the things I've noticed in my life is that it takes very, very little to make a change in someone's life. The kids that I've worked with a number of years, they had never been asked what kind of pizza they wanted. No one ever asked them, what would you like to eat? It was just, this is it. Asking a child, what kind of pizza would you like if we were to bake pizza? It brought a joy to their hearts which you cannot imagine. Playing a game with them, a math game, and sitting and reading a book with them. For a lot of these kids, that's a very special experience. And it's really special in this world to be able to have fun with the kids. But the most important part is you start to work into their heart. I found that I was changed because I realized these little things would cause these children and young adults to look that there is someone who loves them. And the most important thing that you can ever do for anyone, one of the things that brings the greatest joy to my life is pointing out to them, hey, look over there. There's a God who loves you. It's not me who's going to get them to come to salvation, but I want to point to them and say, look at that God over there. Let the Holy Spirit work in your hearts. And those kids, because someone loved them here on earth, they say, I think God might love me too. I'd like to follow him. So my fee change is that I know that in eternity, there are a whole bunch of kids that our church has pointed out to, say, look over there, there's Jesus. Come and follow him. What a great, great way to spend an hour or two a week, if you want, or one time, go to this coming week, the 29th to the 31st, go and help them out with a winter festival. Thank you.
Indeed, bringing change and being changed. It's fun. It really is. And it's changing. So there you have it. There's an opportunity. There are a couple of opportunities to bring change, be changed in a cross-cultural way right in Albuquerque. So that was our local. Now, the next grouping of accessibility takes a little bit of a longer step, but it's still very easily doable, and that's what we call our community to community. That's where we connect with the cross-cultural community as a community. And here we work with Food for the Hungry in Sucre, Bolivia. In fact, Via Margarita is the community within Sucre that we work with. And their focus is on community development. In fact, really the idea is working with these communities to develop and improve four basic relationships that we all struggle with, right? One is with God, the other self, the other with others around them, and then finally their material world. And so everything FH is doing is trying to build up those relationships with the people in Sucre. And they invite us as a community to go over there and engage with them and help them along the way, to help show them how to improve those connections, as well as affects us too, right? We have a lot to learn in those ways. And so the handles there, ways you can engage, is I'm sure you hear all the time, the short-term mission trips. We go really every year, except during COVID. We have gone every year and taken a short-term group to Bolivia. Usually lasts about a week, and it's during the spring break for school. And cost should never be an issue. I don't think anyone has ever not been able to go because of money. We can make things happen. We can help you work that out. So that is never an issue. But if still traveling, if it's not the right time for you, or you're still uncertain about it, there's still ways to connect. One is with the child care support. We have packages that you can take a child and support them on a monthly basis. I think it's about $38 now a month. And you can do that, write them letters, and really engage and be part of that bringing change to that child. Also, you can help by helping to send those who want to go. And we have a group going. We have, I think, 10 going this coming March. And so I think there are still opportunities. I don't know if we can get you on that trip, but there's a group from Juntos that's going that you might could go this year, or certainly next year. So those opportunities, but again, you can help with the traveling team, help support them, help with their fundraiser. So again, lots of different ways right here that you can grab a handle. But don't take my word for it. Elisa's going to tell us a little bit real quickly about her experience. How has been traveling to Sucre? How have we been able to bring change? And then how have we been changed?
Hi, guys. Okay, so as Vince said, there's a group that's coming, that's going to be going this coming March. So you can pray for them. They'll be coming back on Easter, which is exciting. So MCC has had a community-to-community relationship with Food for the Hungry for about 15-ish years, somewhere in there. And we send a group at least yearly, except for during COVID. We've had a relationship first with Hornos de Casa Bay and now Via Margarita, and that allows us just to get to know and delve in and spend about 10 years getting to know this community. So I just want to have a hand raise. Anybody who's ever been to Bolivia with Food for the Hungry, can you raise your hand and let us, so you can see the folks that have been around? So you can see there's quite a few from the church that have been there. So there's always a yearly opportunity to go, but as Vince said, to be involved in helping send to. And then child sponsorship is a huge part of how we relate to that community and get to know them and bless them. So it allows those families that are sponsored to be a part of the Food for the Hungry program. As you may not know, but this church also supports the communities by supporting some of the projects that they, as a community, decide that they need to create or to do. And so from here, maybe you don't even know, but you were already helping because the Mountain Christian budget, 20% of it goes towards missions, and part of that goes to Food for the Hungry. And so you've already helped create bathrooms for the schools and done clean water projects and a huge number of big projects that have made some big differences in these communities. So you're already helping, and you can help in other ways too, like Vince was saying, with the different handles. So we've seen some of these changes in our own household and in our own lives. Food for the Hungry talks about walking with communities, but not necessarily fixing them. It's about seeing people as not as projects, but as image bearers of God with dignity, gifts, and agency. And the message deeply echoes with what we read in When Helping Hurts, is a book that they recommend we read before we go, that helps. The real help is not about rescuing people, but restoring relationships, and those relationships that Vince was talking about, with God, with others, with ourselves, and with creation. So in our own home, excuse me, my daughters Ruth and Miriam went with me a couple years ago. And this fall, they spent hours baking and selling cookies in order to raise funds for Project Suma, which is in La Paz, Bolivia. It's a ministry that helps women escape human trafficking and prostitution. And it was really good to see that my girls weren't doing it just to check a box, but they were responding to something that they had learned while they were there, that they were not just relating to people there, but relating to people here and helping them to be involved as well. in our own lives, we've just been so blessed by the generosity of seeing the people there that have nothing but are so willing to give. And when we visited Bolivia last time, or not last time, but a couple times ago, one of the ill mother of one of our sponsored children gave us this beautifully carved bowl that would have been so expensive for her, but she gave it to us out of love that she really wanted to share something with us as a blessing for being a part of their family. One of the Food for the Hungry staff, when Vaughn asked if he could where he could buy one of the local soccer shirts, he took his own shirt off and gave it to Vaughn. So it's just little things like that that was just been such a blessing that we can see them being changed, but that it changes us too. So I just encourage you to find some way in these things that Vince is talking about to be involved in and have it change you too.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I always thought, you know, how in the world can we build community in a week and be over there? But you go, the last night, we always do a big group dinner, and we all cry through the whole thing. I even me, which I don't cry very often, but you can't help but love these people and to create a relationship. So it really is cool. So third group, so this is our most inaccessible group, and it's designed to be that way. It's hard to get to these people. In fact, and the reason that we have done this, and even though it is inaccessible, it is we feel the need to reach the unreached. And so, and the reason, and so each of these four ministries that we look to and support in this grouping are largely unreached people's groups. And so then the reason we feel called there is that roughly 29% of the world is classified as unreached by the gospel. And really surprisingly, only 3% of our mission force worldwide is addressing that 29%. And on top of that, only 1% of the world mission budget is going to that unreached people's group. So we feel a real calling here at this church to try and reach these people. And so, like I say, we have four different groups that we're supporting in these roughly unreached people's groups. The first is Genesis of Hope, and they're serving in South Asia. Their focus is on at-risk populations living in the slums around the big cities. And so, in particular, in this case, we're working with the Genesis of Hope. It's a child center where we're supporting this group. It supports school-age kids. It gives them a place to go after school where it's safe, where they can get a good meal, help if, you know, doctors and such. It also helps tutoring and also explains the gospel, shares the gospel with them. We also do VBS from time to time. And I know we have a big VBS, but we're talking over 1,000 kids in the VBS there in South Asia that we work with. So some big things that we're doing over there and get to be a part of. Even though, you know, we're separated a bit, there are still handles. There are still ways to engage here. And in fact, in this particular case, we do short-term mission trips there as well. And so we've been on a couple. There is the opportunity there. We usually do that every other year instead of every year, so that is an opportunity. It's a little more difficult, but it is still very worthwhile, and I want to encourage you to think about that. But that is another opportunity to be able to reach out and to get involved in that way. The second ministry in this unreached people's group is Asociación Ministerios Fuentes de Agua, AMFA. It operates in the Amazon jungles, Amazon jungle of Peru. AMFA ministers to largely the indigenous people's groups there that are largely forgotten, very remote areas of the jungle. We initiate by usually doing construction of water wells, shallow water wells that bring them safe water, which they've never had before.
In doing this, we're able to bring the gospel. We do it, you know, while we're building the wells. We interact in the evenings. We show the Jesus film. We have Bible studies and worship each evening. And then we have a pastor, Victor, that follows up with these churches, these small churches, these seated churches in some cases, with the pastors, with the communities on a regular basis to try to build them up. We're also sending families to ministry, mission school, and helping to develop them as pastors so they can go back and pastor their village. So we're doing a lot of things, really beautiful things. A handle there is, again, this is a really hard place to get to, but helping me with Spanish. My Spanish isn't great. I have some help, but we have a lot of correspondence, so that is one place. If you speak Spanish well and you'd like to help, that is a way with this particular ministry that you can help. A third ministry is the indigenous pastors in Ethiopia. So this is, we're working with four different pastors. They're seeding churches in very remote parts of Ethiopia. This grew out of work that Frank has done over the years where he would go and spend a week or two doing pastor training in Ethiopia. And so we were able to make some connections, and we've continued that connection over the years. And so, again, very difficult to reach these folks. The main handle would be, if you happen to speak Amharic, I would love to speak to you, okay? But, yes, we have correspondence with them that we would really like. That would be a blessing. Or if you know of somebody, that would be great. The final ministry opportunity with the unreached peoples and is Operation Christmas Child, which I hope all of you are aware of and know all about. We just got through with our campaign this year where we stuffed the boxes with shoe boxes with toys and other kinds of things for children in very impoverished areas, some in unreached areas. And with those come a very deliberate way of sharing the gospel. And so it's a beautiful way to reach these people that would otherwise not be able to be reached. And so obviously the handle there is the shoe boxes, sending a few boxes, and you'll have that opportunity again next year. You can also help with collecting boxes here in the East Mountains or even with some of the sending logistics all over the world. I met from Albuquerque or up in Colorado Springs. So a lot of, again, even in these remote places, ways that you can still connect in. And so this is actually an area where I've had, you know, my experience is with, particularly with AMFA. I have worked 25 years with those people. In fact, you as a church were helped buy some of the initial equipment for the well drilling. Helped send me to do the training of the community there who've gone on and have installed hundreds and hundreds of wells there in the jungle. I mean, to see the change, it's really cool when I've been there and we'll come up to a community and, you know, we don't tell them we're coming or whatever. We'll just stop by and see. And to see people there at the well getting water out of the well, to be able to see the handle of the well worn down from use. I mean, people are really using it. It makes a difference in their life. But that's cool. What's really cool is when I'm in the boat with Jorge, we're traveling down the river. I mean, and, you know, this is the jungle, folks. You know, we drive along. There's a little tiny village, and the people come running down the shore, down to the bank, waving, Jorge, Jorge, you know. They love Jorge, and he's a Peruvian, and the Indians don't like Peruvians, but they love Jorge because of his commitment to that people and the change that they've made, bringing the gospel, bringing fresh water to those people. It's so cool to see. It is, there's real change happening there. And then how has it affected me? Well, to see the love that Jorge, Angela, Victor have for these people. And they're not always the most lovable people. They are hard people. They're beautiful people, but they can be hard too. And they live a hard life, but they love them so much. But more important than that is seeing how much God loves them, and God is not going to let them go. God is not going to forget them. And that is really has changed me. So our final area is kind of new, or at least we're adding it in. It's nothing new overall, but we want to be more intentional about it, and that is intentional about equipping our body for missions. And so what do we mean by that? We mean raising awareness, and this is kind of part of that, just making sure you all are aware of what we're doing with missions and how it works and how you could fit in. We want you to know how you can fit in, but we also want to help encourage hearts for missions. We want to build hearts for missions, whether you're going on short-term mission trips or praying or whatever it is, we want to build that up in you. And so, and also to come alongside those who feel called to do something more, we want to come alongside and make that a possibility and help support that. And so, of course, there are handles here, and the neat thing is you can do it right here at MCC. You don't even have to go to Albuquerque, right? And so some of those are VBS every year. Part of the curriculum is around missions every year. We need somebody to take that over. We also are working with the youth, and we're meeting with them on a regular basis and bringing mission understanding to them and helping them to understand opportunities there, much like I'm doing here today. We also would like to do that with our younger kids as well, just, again, to begin seeding ideas of missions and responsibilities there. Also supporting college age, usually students and others who might want to go and do short-term missions or internships. And then, of course, we want to come alongside and support anyone who, you know, wants to go further, like Abby, right? And also all of our communications. We've got web pages. We've got our directory. We've got our wall of pictures out there if you haven't noticed them. Our weekly blogs and stuff, all this we could use help with. And so, but again, rather than me talking all about it, Abby, I'd like Abby to come up and tell us a little bit. She told us about her ministry. Now I'd like to tell her, ask her to talk just a tiny bit about what this body meant and how this body brought change to her.
Yeah, thanks. So like I said, I've been going to this church since I was 1 year old. And so I was involved in Sunday school and also in youth group every week. And there were people specifically in youth group that when I was in middle school, they started discipling me. And so I was meeting weekly with somebody to get into the word. But they were also super intentional and passionate about me not just being discipled, but me learning how to disciple other people. So in middle school, I started to learn the skills of how to talked about the gospel with people who didn't believe and also how to encourage other Christians who were believers. And so in middle school and in high school, those patterns happened. And then when I went to college, it was a rhythm in my life to be discipled and to disciple other people. And that carried into moving to Florida and now South Carolina and being in full-time ministry, just kind of establishing those things in my life from an early age where, like I said, missions and spreading the gospel was a non-negotiable. And I think it's really rooted in the culture of this church, and especially like moving away and realizing, looking back and realizing, oh, that's a norm at our church. It isn't necessarily everywhere else. And so, you know, my friend, I never personally got to go to Bolivia, but most of my friends did growing up. So again, it was just like, oh yeah, that's something we do is we go cross-culturally and we share with other people. And it was something that wasn't weird to me at all, whereas like it might be to other people, but just be growing up and being exposed to that regularly really has changed it. And obviously it's impacted me greatly because this is something that I want to do full time.
All right, so lots of opportunities there. So finally, just real quick. So there are a few final handles that we can all take hold of, and the reason I haven't mentioned them so far is because they cross-cut everything that we do here, and they probably are the very most important things that we can do, and probably the easiest way you can grab a hold and be a part of this ministry. First is prayer. Everything we do works on prayer. Nothing happens without prayer, and we mean everybody. We need all of your prayer, and pray for this ministry, pray for our missionaries, pray for God's direction. And to help with that, we've tried to make it simple, right? The directory here, you can use this and use it to help pray from. in a general way all the time for our ministry, our missions. Another way is in the link and in our bulletin every week we have prayer points. And so that is getting real personal about specific needs of our different ministries. And so this week I think ISI is in there. And so we do that. Please take a look at it. Pray through those during the week. And we have different ministries each week. And so that is the most important thing that everyone can do. The other, we've talked a little bit about it here, and that is giving, right? And so and if you give, you tithe here and do it in undesignated gifts, 20% of everything we give goes to missions. But you can also help in other ways, right? You can give a designated gift to missions. You can also help with travelers who are going, and you'll see those letters from time to time. We also are planning to do something big, something really to get the church to give to something big in missions this year or coming year, and want you to be looking for that. So giving is another place that you can engage across all of these. And then also, for some of you, you might want to be part of our mission team. We've lost a couple recently, and we could really use a few new folks. We meet monthly. Obviously, we've got a lot to keep our hands around, lots of opportunities to engage, and we could really use some help there. And so that is another place. So I imagine all of you feel like, and I feel like I've been the fire hose here and spewing all kinds of stuff, and I know it's been hard. I know it's a lot of information, but God has blessed us. There's so much going on, and I hope you go away appreciating the importance of missions and the mission work being done and understand God's calling on your life. What is God calling you to in missions? And I hope you have a better appreciation for the scope of missions and what you're helping to support with your giving here. And I also hope you found some new ways that you might want to help with missions and cross-cultural ministry. And if you have, please come. You can talk to me. You can talk to any of our other staff people that are helping with missions, or you can talk to the office and they can get you in touch with the right people. But please consider that, and please be praying. So if you will stand, and we will conclude. Dear Lord, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be reminded of your command, Lord, among the most important commands that you give us, Lord, to share the gospel, and how important it is for us that your gospel doesn't end with this generation, Lord. We just pray that you would be with everyone here and prick our hearts where we need, Lord, where you're calling us to do your will in this area, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with all of our ministries, Lord, all the missionaries, Lord, to keep them safe and give them, Lord, help them to bear fruit and to bring you glory, Lord. And we just praise you. We thank you for the opportunity of being part of this. In Christ's name, amen.